Good evening. It's wonderful to be together tonight as the Lord's people. Oftentimes, when we think of prayer, we think of solitary prayer, praying by yourself, praying alone. You know, after all, didn't Jesus go up into the mountain to draw aside to be with the Father? And then we read also that Jesus went to the wilderness there that he might commune with his Father. And in the Sermon on the Mount, didn't Jesus instruct us to go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father? I think as we think about prayer, we think about this aspect of prayer as a solitary activity. It may have been Jesus' admonitions to the religious leaders who were praying to be seen, praying to hear their voices, praying as he reminds us in Matthew chapter 6, where he calls us to go and pray to our Father who is in secret. Our Father who is in secret will reward us. Instead, not to be like those who are praying to be seen or to be heard. Certainly, solitary individual prayer, our personal time of prayer with God, impacts our prayer together with the Lord's people. The more we're able to grow in our own relation with God through prayer individually, has a dramatic impact on our life together as the people of the Lord Jesus. And I am struck that Jesus taught us to pray. He didn't say, pray my Father who is in heaven. Instead, he instructed us to pray to our Father who is in heaven. He teaches us that we are to pray together. Part of being in the body of Christ is that we are to be a praying people and praying together. That is to shape, to mold, to impact our life together as the people of the Lord Jesus. I mean, we find this in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, where the early church devoted themselves to prayer. This wasn't just individual Christians praying on their own. They did that. But when they came together, their life was marked by corporate, unified prayer as the body of Christ, of people of different ages. And this is something that is not just characteristic of the church in the New Covenant, in the New Testament. For we find even in our Old Testament, this aspect of prayer and of praying together. This well-known passage in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves, and this is in the plural, and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. It is this praying together. It's this corporate aspect of the people of God. In this aspect is this, in this passage is this aspect of spiritual renewal through prayer, in which as the Lord's people together seek the Lord and humble themselves in prayer and give themselves to the Lord, unreservedly, wholeheartedly, that the Lord promises to come to be with his people, to renew, to strengthen them. I mean, consider the history of genuine revival. Oftentimes it's begun in a corporate prayer meeting. When I was a young Christian, my Sunday school teacher, whom God used to introduce me to Christ, gave me a little book by Jonathan Edwards about concerts of prayer. That's the shortened title of his 15 to 20 word sermon on concerts of prayer, of going, crying out to God together as the Lord's people and beseeching his help and his presence. And so it is this aspect that so characterizes the people of God, that we're redeemed, we're adopted, we're brought into a family. And that expression of life together because of our union with the Lord Jesus is that together we pray and we enjoy communion with Christ through prayer. It was Martin Luther who said, he talked about praying in the church, praying with the church, and praying for the church. And it is this aspect, especially of praying with the church, that God calls our attention to as his people tonight as we think about the privilege of corporate prayer, the joy, the pleasure of praying together with brothers and sisters of the Lord Jesus. There's something sweet about the fellowship that comes from a united season of prayer. And perhaps one of the chief marks of the malaise of the church in our contemporary world is the poverty of prayer meetings, especially in the North Americas. And yet we find the description of heaven and of God and his throne as being one of prayer. In the book of Revelation, chapter 8, when the Lamb opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. In the description of heaven, largely to this point in the book of Revelation, it is not a place of silence. It is filled with exalted praise and joyful singing and exaltation and adoration of the Lord. But here there is silence for about half an hour. Then I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. And another angel came and stood at the altar with a golden censer, and he was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints rose before God from the hand of the angel. This gives us a picture of how our God delights in prayer, in hearing the prayers of his people. And notice it's all, the expression here is in the plural. It's of his people united together under the banner of the Lord Jesus and by his word and gospel that we pray. And these prayers make it above the ceiling of the room in which these Christians are praying, makes it to the very presence of God Almighty in heaven. It's something of such importance to our holy and righteous God, something in which he takes great delight, something over which there is silence in heaven. Leon Morris says of this activity in heaven, the prayers of God's people are supremely important. They're the most important event on all the earth. God pays attention to them. As we consider all the events on this earth, how would we consider the importance of the prayers of God's people, of the saints? God takes great value in the prayers of his people. There's something incredibly significant and weighty and important to him. And what an incentive this is to us, that we might press on in prayer, that we might give ourselves to the Lord unitedly, together, corporately, as his people. Perhaps one of the greatest expressions of the unity of prayer under the Lord Jesus, the unity of his people who were united to him and thus were connected to one another, is our Lord's teaching in Matthew 18, where Jesus says, "Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them." What a great encouragement to united prayer. And here there's this sense of unity together, of brothers and sisters, of children of the Lord Jesus, coming before our God, our Heavenly Father, through our High Priest, our Savior Jesus. There's a marvelous sense of unity that comes from the presence of the Lord Jesus as he bonds and brings his people together, united in prayer, as we have that posture of dependence upon him on our knees, and our sense of joy and expectancy, knowing that our God is able to do beyond all that we can ask or think or even imagine. But the prayer that Jesus, the united prayer that Jesus is speaking of, is a prayer that really is in accordance with the rule that Christ has granted to us in his word. This passage has been lifted out of the context of the Gospel of Matthew, and some have named and claimed all kinds of things that are not in accord with the wisdom and the clear instruction and leading of God through the royal rule of God's law and word for our lives. When I was a teenager, a song was very popular, and I'm trying to, I think it had to do with a Mercedes-Benz and wanting a Mercedes-Benz in prayer. God may grant a Mercedes-Benz to someone as a need for transportation, but, you know, that isn't the idea of what our Lord Jesus is talking about in this passage when he's talking about two agreeing together and the Father hearing that prayer. That doesn't mean everything that two people agreed upon is God's will, nor necessarily that what is agreed upon will be answered. God hears the prayers of his children as we take up his word and promises and pray accordingly to what he has taught us and instructed us in his word. But there is a great promise here, and maybe we can end with this, that we can be certain as Christians come together, even a small group of only two, as they gather in the Lord Jesus' name and are agreed in prayer to the truths, the principles of his word in a matter before him, we can have certainty that the Lord hears and acts in accordance with his sovereign and good purposes for his glory and for his people. We can be certain of his help and even of the Lord Jesus's presence. So the summary here for me is that God is ready to hear the united prayers of every one, or every two in this case, of his little ones, that we can come to him with great confidence in prayer, not because of the power of those praying, not because of the number of people praying, but because the Father delights in hearing the prayers of his children as they pray according to his word in the name of his Son, by his Spirit, for his glory. So God, while he is altogether sovereign, and this might be another topic to consider, God's sovereignty as it relates to our prayers, but while God is altogether sovereign, Leon Morris said that God commonly does his greatest work on earth in response to the prayers of his humble people. Prayer is a great privilege. Mr. Baker, speak up so we can all hear you. Okay. I do go back that far. I didn't know it was Janis Joplin, and I'm not saying it's a Christian song. I'm not saying that I strum it on a guitar. But I know people who prayed essentially those kind of prayers. But why don't we tonight bring Christ, God exalted prayers? Let's begin with a season of bringing our joyful praise and marvelous adoration to our great God. Let's extol his name. Let's praise him that he's a God who delights in hearing the prayers of his people. So let us, together as one body, as his family, as people, go to God, our God, in prayer. Encourage you to pray if you would like, and pray so aloud. Pray that others might be able to hear and join in. Let us go to our glorious Heavenly Father in prayer.